Welcome to The Digital Brew,
a podcast about making your business more awesome online.
I'm Angela, a copywriter, here with my husband, Stu, a web designer.
It's time to pour yourself a cuppa and let's get started.
Hello and welcome back from our mini break. We've got a whole new batch of episodes planned and ready to roll. It's been a crazy month here. Our kids got sick and we got sick and we're like, oh, we've got no batched episodes, so we're going to just take a break there. As you do. That's just life with kids and a business. But anyway, we're back and we're so excited to be back. And today's episode is all about websites and the terrible, awful things people do to them. So basically, we're going to approach this topic from a business website perspective, as in websites that are set up to generate leads or sales. But this one should be really useful for just about anyone with a website who wants to improve their traffic or their conversions, or just to make sure they're following best practices. So today we're going to look at UI, UX, copywriting, and SEO.
So the first one we'll be looking at is UI and UX. Now, I probably could have come at this from like looking at a whole bunch of really old and really bad and poorly designed websites, but that's easy and we'd be here all day just talking about all the terrible things that you can do to a website. So what I did do was I went to the awards with like two or three W's website, which is like, you know, where people post websites to get rated and then they get featured and stuff. So it's meant to be, you know, top of the cream of the crop. I don't know. What's the saying?
Cream of the crop.
Yeah, whatever. you know, the best websites out there. But what I found with them is they have really bad usability. And it's a good, you can learn some good lessons of what not to do from those websites. So the first one, I've only got five here. But the first one is preloaders. So there are probably only two reasons that I can think of, two main reasons that you'd want a preloader. Either you've got a whole bunch of stuff on your website and it takes a while to load, so you don't want people to see that load, so you stick a preloader on there. Or you just want to make your website look fancy and for some reason you think a preloader does that. But neither of these are a good reason to have a preloader, and there's a good chance that you'll lose visitors as a result. Especially if the preloader is sitting there for 30 seconds and it just keeps spinning and spinning and people are wondering if anything's even happening, they're probably going to click away.
Yeah, I find them super frustrating. Don't do them.
I'd rather watch the website load in front of me so then I can at least see some of the content straight up. So the next one is too many animations. Especially these days where it's really easy just to add some gimmicky animations to your website. You see them everywhere. They can really overwhelm the website visitors. They take away from what the website should really be doing, pointing to the content that they should be seeing. So people just don't know what to focus on. They can also slow down your website, especially if people are looking at them on older computers, you know, that have slower hardware, or if they're on a mobile phone, especially like low-end mobile phones. They can make the website really laggy and slow to load. And again, you're going to lose visitors as a result of that. What are your opinions on animations?
I think some animations can be kind of cool, can, you know, bring the website to life a little bit more, but it's definitely way overdone and can be quite distracting. I think it works really well when it's just a little tiny detail. You're only just barely noticing it, if at all.
Yeah, I'm okay with subtle animations, especially ones that only use CSS because it's a lot lighter than, you know, loading in a full JavaScript library. But yeah, I agree. Okay, the next one, using a hamburger menu. So those are those three little lines that you normally see on your mobile, but using it on the desktop version of the website. This is just silly.
It really is. You can't see anything. It's just three lines.
Yeah. I mean, unless you have some really crazy complex navigation that is full of all different sorts of links to every which part of your website, which you probably shouldn't, I can't really see why you'd want a tiny little hamburger icon in place of an actual text menu on the desktop. Even then, you should probably have your main pages as text menu items, so home and about and services. And then if you want to add, you know, additional pages to the menu, that's where you could stick a hamburger menu next to that menu, which, you know, slides out from the side, and that's where you have all your additional menu items. But just having a hamburger menu item is just bad user experience, in my opinion.
I wonder how many people just wouldn't know to click on it. I know like a few years ago when this was just starting to be a trend, I think I can remember being confused about it and trying to find menus and Oh, it's that thing.
Yeah.
You don't want users to have that experience.
And then sometimes they just don't stand out at all. Like you're spending 5 or 10 seconds looking like, okay, I can't see a menu, so I assume there's a button to open a menu. Where is that button? You see that in the really artsy websites.
Mm.
But yeah, keep it simple and keep it predictable, especially on a business website.
Which leads really well into your next point.
Oh, yes. Unpredictable layout and navigation. So don't get too creative. I'm not saying don't make your website look nice, but people generally expect the logo on the left and the menu on the right. And if you try and be hip and creative, you're just going to make your visitors lost and confused, and they're probably just going to click away from your website because they can't find the information that they came to look for in the first place.
Yep, totally agree with all of that.
Okay, the last one is so people like sticky headers and sometimes sticky footers. And they can work, but sometimes they're just too big. So if you have a sticky header or any other sticky element of the page, make sure it doesn't take up too much space, particularly on mobile. One really bad example you can see of this in action is if you go to the Australian Big W website, and if you navigate to just any product on there, they have a sticky header and a sticky footer. And on mobile, even on a large mobile, but particularly on the smaller screen mobiles, there's barely any space in the middle of the screen to actually see what's happening because you've got this giant header and giant footer. Really bad. Don't do it.
Yeah, totally agree with that. I find on some websites, probably some of the dodgy news websites that I look at, they also have like an ad that pops up and that's sticky as well. And I'm left like with maybe a third of my screen to actually read the article I'm trying to read. So annoying.
News websites commit a lot of crimes. But they can get away with it. Sometimes news websites will just freeze up. Like my phone will be frozen for 30 seconds because it's just loading so many assets in the background which aren't being used, and it's loading a bunch of ads, so it's calling a bunch of external resources which are taking too long to load, and my phone's just like, no, nope, I'm not gonna deal right now. So let's not get into news websites.
So I think it's time for us to move into talking about SEO. Some yes. Terrible SEO crimes. So over to me then. Mm-hmm. So the first one is kind of obvious, and it's been a crime for quite a while. It's nothing new. And that's keyword stuffing. But I still see people doing this. Don't do it. It's quite risky from a perspective of Google could, you know, decide your site is dodgy and not let you rank anymore. But also it creates a really bad user experience. So just use your keywords naturally and conversationally. I mean, obviously be strategic. It's worth keeping keyword density in mind. I think in some cases up to one mention per 100 words is okay, but definitely not at the expense of UX. And this includes using different variations and synonyms. So it's going to sound super natural if you're doing it right. So don't keyword stuff. The next thing I want to talk about is sitemap XML indexing stuff that you don't want indexed. So this one is super common. People install their SEO plugin or their sitemap plugin and they don't customize it to make sure that they're telling search engines what they do and what they don't want indexed. So just make sure you're getting that right.
Yeah, I mean, just when you install your SEO plugin or if you already have one installed, just go to the sitemap section of it. It normally stands out. It's probably in the menu section somewhere. And just look at what is actually being indexed. Another thing you could do is literally just go to your sitemap. So it's probably just your URL, you know, .com/sitemap.xml. And then you'll see all of the pages that are being, that, you know, that your website is telling Google to index. And if you see a bunch of stuff in there, like, you know, archives or tag archives or, you know, template files for some obscure plugin, and you're like, why on earth are they getting indexed? Then just go to your SEO plugin and remove them, just like untick them so they don't appear in your sitemap.
So the other SEO crime that we want to talk about is page titles and meta descriptions being ignored. So we still see websites with blank meta titles and descriptions, or people just using the same copy-paste ones across all their pages. And so think about what you want to show up in Google search results or on Facebook if someone shared a link back to your website, and how you'd briefly describe the page and what would make people click. Naturally include relevant keywords if you can, and don't waste your meta titles by writing your brand name over and over again in every title. You've only got 50 to 60 characters there, so make them count. And something that relates to that for my next point is bad header tag usage, because that's another one of those fiddly little SEO content things that people often don't know how to do right or they get wrong. So with your header tags, you should only have one H1 per page, and that should be your main heading. Ideally, you want to include your best keyword for the page in it. Obviously, do that in a really natural way. Refer back to point number one about keyword stuffing. And then use your H2s for your subheadings. And then if you have any headings nested under those, use H3s. So header tags are a good place for keywords, but they're also really important for UX and just ensuring that people can scan the page quickly. So have a look and make sure that you're doing it correctly on your website, because honestly, the number of websites that get that wrong, it's just, yeah, it's concerning. Okay, so finally for SEO, my point is not enough copy. So if you want a page to rank, you'll probably need to write more than 100 words of copy. I'm sorry. Unless maybe it's a contact page or you just don't care about it ranking. But don't be afraid of longer copy, especially if you have a competitive, complex, or an expensive product or service to sell. Serious buyers will want to soak up as much information as they can, and they'll appreciate any insights you can give to them, along with like actual info about what's included, the process, and what it costs. And if you structure your page well with like headers and white space, calls to action, you do like an upside down pyramid shape structure, which basically means put all the important info at the top and then supporting details at the bottom, people will be able to scan it or read the whole thing. It's really up to them. So don't be afraid to write more copy. It's really great for your user and it's really great for SEO as well if you do it right. And this leads us into the next section, which is all about copywriting crimes that people make on their websites. So first up, this one still happens, welcoming people to your website. If you use the first 100 words or any space above the fold to welcome people to your site, it is a waste of space. It's meaningless. It might sound a little friendly, but it means nothing to the user. Your website doesn't need a welcome mat. It needs to quickly show a busy reader who you are, what you do, and how to get to the next bit of info they're looking for. So just if you say, welcome to my site, please delete that right away. You do not need it there. So next mistake that I see so common, and you know it's actually really tricky to get right, is making it all about you. So here's the thing, your website should talk about you, but only in the right places and in the right dosages. You want to put the focus on your audience first, make them the hero of your story. Talk about who they are, what their problems are, and what they get when they buy from you. And then once they see that you get them, that's when they'll be interested and ready to read about you. So just make sure that you position that information in the right spot to match up with the audience's headspace. Okay. Third issue with copywriting that I see on websites is hiding behind a brand. So you think making it all about you means, oh, make it about your brand, but no, hiding behind a brand is bad. So the copy should mention the people behind the brand. It should actually talk about you or your team, especially on your about page. And it should really be touched on in most of your pages, I think. Just too many websites skim over this detail. And honestly, it makes me feel suspicious about the brand. Like, is it even real? Is this a scam? You know, why are these people too embarrassed to put their names and faces on the site? Don't hide behind a brand. Let people know who you are. That's totally okay. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Okay, last thing on my list is walls of text. So I love writing lots of copy, as Stu knows. Sorry, Stu. But you do have to be really careful to avoid creating big chunks of text. So you have to break it up. It's totally fine to have short one-sentence paragraphs in places. You know, these days, that's totally fine. Like, if in doubt, add a line break. People seem to prefer that, especially because so many users are on mobile phones these days. It doesn't take much for a paragraph to fill their entire screen. So yeah, avoid walls of text and also use italics and bolding along with headings, icons, and images to help break up the text and make it scannable and just stop the user from getting tired and giving up.
Okay, so wrapping things up, we could talk about this probably literally all day, but we should probably stop at some point, which means maybe we'll do a part two sometime and then a part three.
Woohoo!
And a part four. Easy content.
Don't think so.
But these are some of the most common issues or just some of our, you know, personal quirks that we don't like that we've, you know, come across on websites in terms of their user experience and SEO and copywriting. But our advice would be to just step back, go through the list, do an audit of your own website, and just see what issues come up. And then just take your time and go through and fix them. You're probably not making all of these mistakes, but there's a good chance you could improve in at least a few of these areas.
And I know that we could on our sites as well. Oh, definitely.
We're not perfect.
Goodness, no. Please don't audit our sites. That'll be very embarrassing.
No. Audit your own, you silly billies. Don't. And that's it. So next episode, we're going to be talking about how you can make your website super fast. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Digital Brew with Ange and Stu.
Make sure you head over to thedigitalbrew.com for more episodes, detailed show notes, resources, and our newsletter.
And if you feel like this episode has helped you make your business more awesome, pop us a review.
We'll catch you next time.